Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. I got one of the usuals here with me. I got Cole Britt. How you doing, bub?
How's it going?
It's good. And it's we've been trying to get this together for like three tries now. Third time's a charm.
Yeah. It's a little rushed, but at the same time, you and I are both contributing our part in society, working jobs, sure. You know, not being bums, so
yeah,
makes it difficult.
That whole thing, like Chick-fil-A here in town, Dude, they're offering $15 an hour with insurance.
Yeah.
Still can't get nobody to come out.
Well, that's the Lord's chicken. So, but no, you're right. I mean, but that's that goes back into before Biden. You know, that was the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're gonna raise. I've been hearing for years now they're gonna raise like minimum wage. So, but hey, you know, what happens to everything else? You know, does it go up? Does it stay the same?
Who knows? It goes up.
You know,
I mean, so, the essential McDonald's dollar menu will be like a $10 menu.
What I'm getting at is like, for instance, for you, like what you do is a valuable part to people's natural day to day lives. Like they need power and water. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, during the quarantine, I didn't have a day off.
Yeah, exactly. So
they
need that. So for that to happen, so like if we're paying Chick-fil-A guy $15 an hour to, you know, do what he's doing, not to take away from that, but so do we pay you more now?
No, you don't.
So
you don't. I won't get a raise.
Neither will I.
Matter of fact, you know, in 2019, the week after quarantine started, City Hall was supposed to be meeting about giving all city workers a raise, but because of the quarantine,
mm-hmm.
They furloughed workers and put off giving raises.
Yeah, you know, there was a SPD had 20 officers sent home, not for trouble, for the furlough. Like, that was unheard of, because that's essentially law enforcement, whether it's rain, shine, whatever, Godzilla tearing through Star Wars.
Well, it's the most, it's one, like, okay, I'm a part of infrastructure.
Yeah.
You are too.
Yeah.
Like, but police work, to me, is very important.
Well, you know, it's
safety is a big deal to me.
Even if we do have, so like during the COVID-19, during its hype phase, so let's skip 6 months into COVID. So it's like really like right there. Everybody's about masks. We're doing the mandatory shutdowns, you know,
right.
Curfews. We were still working. And I mean, sure, you are too.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. We're still working. So we're still, so that was my thing, to hear that like 20 guys, they weren't laid off. They were just like on an administrative suspension, not to be confused with like disciplinary actions, but administrative suspension for 20 plus days. And I'm over here going, huh. That's new, right? So,
yeah.
Because, you know, like, it would have made more sense. I mean, even, like, firemen or anything else, like, it would have made sense to me if you did that to, like, 20 Walmart employees, right? Versus fire, police.
Not city employees.
Water, you know, that kind of stuff.
And I remember it was, I think, October of last year.
Yeah.
Our fire department, our city hall, my building, and the police officer headquarters was all hit by COVID. Yeah. And you know what we all did? Shh. We all got to work. Shh.
Yep.
Send that guy home. We got to keep moving. You know? We can't stop.
It's something. It's going to be, you know, it's...
And that's the thing now is like with, you know, Reeves was one of the latest governors to do it, to say that if Biden's going to send that, you know, unemployment money that is the equivalent of $15 an hour, we're not going to accept it. And then I saw a lot of my friends left-leaning. It's like, this is BS. And I was like, we have to do this. We cannot incentivize people to stay home.
No.
Like, you understand if, like, you sit at home. Let's say we all sit at home. $15 an hour. You go to the store, you're hungry. There ain't going to be nothing to buy, buddy.
I don't think people realize that, though, you know?
Like, there's people our age that think that food comes from the store.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's a lack of, it's a lack of education. You know, speaking of that, going into it, because we're going to come back to this realm a lot in this.
Come out of the gate firing.
but the thing is like me and my dad were just talking about this, and because my cousin's daughter, she's a little girl, she's in kindergarten, mm-hmm. okay? So, like, what are they learning in kindergarten? Well, my mom's telling me that, like, out of, like, 80 students, like, 80 kindergarten students, right?
Mm-hmm.
60 of them have to repeat kindergarten. Not because of a lack of intelligence, not because they're dumb or something's wrong with the kids, but because... they have to repeat kindergarten due to the COVID stuff. But I was like, okay. But in, you know, I'm trying to ask, okay, but what's going on? So then I get told that, like, for instance, kids their age are learning English. They're learning, they give them words like cat, run, see, I.
Yeah.
That child, that 5-6-year-old child, is having to put sentences together. He's seeing words. I see the cat run. I was like, are you kidding me? They're learning. You know, when I was in kindergarten, we learned colors, shapes, letters.
And a teacher would read to us.
Yeah. But they're learning, they're actually learning
how
spelling.
How to structure a sentence.
How to structure a sentence. Even if it's a simple sentence, they're learning how to spell. They're learning grammar.
Yeah, that's
they're
first, second grade, man.
Exactly. Well, not even. I mean, you gotta think, you know. But that's where we're at this gap. See, we're doing that now. To our youth, but from the time that you and I graduated high school, those kids that were freshmen are now, so essentially, if you look at a license right now that they were born in the year 2000, they're 21 years old now.
Which is shocking to me.
So that right there is where that gap is. That right there is that gap. And yes, we belong to the same generation as them, but there's a huge gap, and you're absolutely right. They think that these things that we have, these things that we need, all these necessities, I can go get that at Kroger.
Oh, you ought to hear them talk about, like, the homeless problem. You know what their issue is? Like, how to solve it? We got all these vacant buildings. We'll just put them in it. That's not how life works.
No. Because what do you got to do? You, from what you do, what do you have to do to make that building?
The water has to be cut on.
Yep.
Power's got to be cut on. Somebody's got to pay for that energy.
And here's the thing.
But look, dude, I don't like people sitting on the streets. I don't like that. That's not good. A lot of them are veterans. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them are addicts. Some of them actually don't have to be homeless. They want to be.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk to 100 of them, you'll get 100 different stories.
For sure.
But, yeah, we should definitely be working on that. But we got to come up with a good solution. That's not a solution.
And that's just, like I said, it's not even imagination. I think it's a lack of intelligence that people think that just everything just graciously falls out of the sky into these things, and we can just go, nope, good men and women go out here and bust their butts to make that for you and me, and it all starts somewhere. You know,
it starts on a farm.
It starts on a farm. It starts in its most rawest form. It starts as a rock. It starts, you know, that's how it starts. And, yeah. and hard men and hard women bust their butts for their own reasons, right? Yeah. Whether that be to provide for a family or whatever. They do that. So.
Shout out to all the truckers out there too, because I mean, you literally see it now, like with everything that we're going through, is just how important those 18 wheelers are.
Oh, dude, I'm telling you, I've grown up around it. Now, I'll be honest, as an individual, I despise truckers, but only when I'm driving down the road.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Only when I'm
especially driving, especially like log trucks, right?
Yeah, that's it.
And by the way, you see a log truck, that dude's packing $1 million on that trailer.
Nowadays, right? Like, you know,
look at all that money.
We're thinking in our minds like that's the equivalent of like a armored truck heist. Yeah. Like you're about to see a new TV movie, a new movie come out, and they're like log truck, you know, heist. Like boom. Like, we're just shutting down the entire Home Depot. Like, you know.
No more 2x4s.
Yeah, dude, no.
We own the supply.
That's nuts, too, man. My dad is building, like, this lean-to. Well, not a lean-to, but it's, like, it's about the size of my living room with a lean-to off the on the left and a lean-to off the right. And it's basically an elevated platform that's roofed in. He's going to wall two sides of it, and he's going to make, like, a little cook shack out there.
Oh, that'll be dope.
So he's building, but, dude.
You better find something besides lumber.
Well, I was looking at the roof and I was like, what's going up there? And he was like, oh, 10, you know, which, hey, what choice do you have?
At this point, you don't.
So, but no, just talking to him about it, you know.
You would almost be better off, like, just for your beams and for, you know, your posts. You'd probably be better off right now just running steel. It'd probably be about the same price.
Yeah, I mean, now today is the day to be a welder because you can do stuff that the guy, the carpenters, can't. People are coming to you going, please, sir, may I have some? And you're like, yeah, man, I'll make you a freaking house out of tin metal. What's up?
Yeah, I've been wanting to call Dowdy. You know, he just started his company, like framing houses and like building decks. It's like, I can only imagine, like, you know, lumber prices right now, it's like, okay, so you have to charge that much more for material. Like, what does work look like for you? Mm. You know? It just sucks all the way around, you know?
It is a new world, man. It is a new world we live in, all these new stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so I'm gonna help us.
Segue.
I'm gonna help us smooth into this. But speaking of new world, I made a comment the other day. And you said this, and I meant it, and you got it, you understood what I was saying, but like I said, we're in a new world, it's a different day and different age, right? A lot of things happening, a lot of crazy stuff's going on, but not even really like bad crazy, but like good crazy, but dude, Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
If I would have told you in 2017,
yeah.
Hey Al, if I told you, I said, hey Al, we're gonna have like a concert and big, you know, all this for Porch Talk, it's gonna happen. You would have been like, you're crazy.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no way. Like, when I started that show, and, like, the memory just popped up of, like, the original post of, like, this is me back in, like, May of 2018 when I was just on Blake Dillard's porch. We were shooting the crap, passing the guitar back and forth. Hey, I think we got something. And then I just make this post because I was like, if I don't speak it out into existence, it's not going to happen. So I was like, I want a podcast. Me and the boys, we're going to talk cultural issues, we're going to talk about worldview, we're going to talk about what's going on in the world, and like not only just complain about it, but provide some kind of a solution.
You know, that's something too, and talking about like change and talking about everything else, and this is going back, look, I don't even know what episode you're on now, this is like...
This is 252.
252, so let's go back to episode 1. I can remember having a conversation with you saying like, man, dude, we ain't gonna do that. We ain't gonna talk about religion. We're not gonna talk about politics. Why? Because right then and there, it was, yeah. Right. But like now, that's where everybody's doing it. Yeah. But at the same time, too, dude, I'm telling you right now, as an avid podcast listener, I listen to the Jocko podcast. I listen to Mike Drop. I listen to Joe Rogan. I'm listening to like all these different people.
You ever listen to Theo Von?
Oh, dude. That is my dude right there.
Yeah, selling, yeah, a lot of people around here really like
selling hams and G-pigs down there. And yeah, I'm telling you, that man is the most hilarious dude. He's straight up, you need to hear his skit, his joke about musket fire.
Okay.
Dude, it's good. He talked about, he said, you know, when he was growing up, his dad was old. Much older than all the other kids' dads, right? Yeah. His dad was like 70. You know, like, all of these other kids' dads are, like, in their late 40s, early 50s, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, you'd be at school, and he'd be like, I bet my dad can beat up your dad. He'd be like, yeah, I bet he can. He's like, but you know what? I bet my dad fucked your grandmother. What's up now? You know? And, dude, that shit, I'm telling you, man, he is a nut. When I discovered him... Oh, dude, I got hooked. I started listening to him. I haven't really ventured into his podcast much, but his stand-up, woo.
I found his YouTube or Facebook videos first, and then someone I'm friends with on social media put a post out. It's like, hey, I'm looking for a new podcast to listen to.
Yeah.
And it was like immediately, like four people was like, listen to Theo Vaughn. So shout out to Theo.
Dude, he is a nut, man. That's pretty cool, but... Yeah, essentially what I was getting at, though, is like as an avid podcast listener, you know, I think there's a whole side of people in society now that are going to disagree with everything you say. It doesn't matter. I could say, hey guys, the sky is not technically blue. It's actually like cyan or something. Someone's going to be like,
no, it's actually kind of gray.
So, that's why, like, people that really do, it's like you and, like, some of these other guys that are, like, more famous than you or I put together, they're the voice of, you know, when you're sitting there driving down the road and you're listening, the Hodge Twins. Have you ever listened to them?
Dude. There's a couple, I haven't listened to their podcast.
Yeah.
But I like watching them.
Yes.
I watch them on YouTube or on their Facebook page. I think
we got a good show for you.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Yeah. I like watching Lateral Crowder sometimes. Sometimes they'll go, that's how I found them. That's how I found out about them. I've been following Steven Crowder for a long time.
But you know what? I think that is a super positive thing. And the reason why I say that is because, like, those are the unsung heroes of today's society, and this is why. Because when you watch, dude, news, mainstream media,
oh, it's trash.
Has literally become like a villain.
It's like reality TV.
No, dude. In my mind, like, I sit here and I watch, and I'm like, oh my god, like, they literally are like shitting on everyone. Like, that is not what happened. No, what?
Oh yeah,
dude, it's literally like it. And you know me, I love comic books, I love superheroes. So I'm sitting here in my mind, I'm like, oh my god, like mass media is like ran by like an evil mastermind. Like, that is essentially what I'm at, what I believe right now. But you got these folks, these heroes, these voices out there that. For instance, Jocko Willink, Navy SEAL, Joe Rogan, UFC, huge background there.
Comedian,
huge Fear background factor. There. All that stuff. You got a lot of people that are in positions that are saying,
and they are so under fire right now.
Yeah. Oh, and dude, you know what?
I mean, with Joe Rogan was like. People our age, younger, like if you are a healthy, this is almost verbatim what he said. If you are a healthy 21-year-old, I wouldn't get the vaccine. What do you need it for? You're healthy.
Yeah,
and then Media Matters came after him. Then like the woke mob came after him.
I'm woke.
And dude, Spotify paid him $100 million to be there. I was like, you're not gonna get him canceled. And even if you do, $100 million.
Rogan leaves Los Angeles, leaves California.
To go to Austin.
Moves to Austin, Texas. Why? Because, like, dude, and I can tell you, I have a buddy of mine that's in LAPD. He's like, dude, don't come here.
Yeah, no shit.
Like, and the thing is what I was getting at, though, is, like, these people, like, we drive around and we listen to music. We listen to the news and everything else all day long. But every now and then, you get to hear these folks come up and they're like shoving that down in the throats of the people that are saying like, oh, this is bad, you're bad, this is all terrible, blah, blah, blah. You got these people that are saying, you know, the Joe Rogans, the Jockos, the Mike Ritlands, the Jack Carrs, and I know I'm naming off a lot of freaking Navy SEALs right now, but they have a lot. There's a lot of Navy SEALs that have podcasts, but I mean Joe Rogan,
in real talk, that's somebody I would trust.
Yeah,
it's like the badass of the badass who fought for my freedom, my rights. And now he's coming back and speaking some truth. Yeah, I think I'll take his word for it because that's a man who has seen the other side, you know?
Yeah. So, we kind of talked about, briefly, we kind of talked about Saturday.
Yeah.
And then,
But yeah, didn't believe anything like that would ever happen. And like, always, never really put much thought into it. Like, we're 3 years into doing this thing now. And, I mean, we got some cool opportunities down the road for this.
Oh, dude, absolutely. And I'm just saying, like, meeting Sean and them, like, that was just listening to his story. Me and Ryan sat over there and talked to him for, like, a hot minute. And literally, like, Ryan is a big personality. That's the kind of person he is. So, but he's very nice. He's very humble. He's very, I wouldn't say simple, but he's very impressed by things like that. So once I, you know, hey, zip it, let the guy talk. let Sean like tell us, and it's just, I mean, it was just interesting to me. And that's, you know, so, you know, I hit it off with Joey real well. Right? What that's
Tony.
Tony. Whoops. He's going to hear this and be like, you should freaking call me Joe. but like we hit it off, obviously, Marine Corps background. But listening to them and just talking about the travel and the everything, man, is.
You maybe want to just jump in that hearse and go with, you know.
Yeah. I mean, because, I mean, you know, especially now, it's like, what are you going to do? You're going to go back to work? To work for what? To do what? But these people are traveling, and they're not like super hippie or nothing like that. I mean, they literally, they're not doing this to rise against the man. They're doing something because they love each other. They love the road. They love the music. They love the experience. They love the people they meet. And I'm telling you, like, that's like I was telling you, and you know, you told me several times, like, man, appreciate you. No, dude, I get the opportunity not only to be a part of the experience, but I too join you in being a host to these people.
Yeah.
So that right there, help these people, these folks coming around, helping them host this experience. I mean, it's just, it makes me feel great.
Yeah, and everybody was very pleased with you cooking. Yeah. So props to it on that, man. Like, next day we all woke up, you know, sitting outside on the porch, thinking about like tearing the stage down and like getting everything put up. And that was the first thing out of everybody's mouth. It's like, is Cole single?
My butt's on fire.
Yeah. Is Cole single? It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
How?
It's because ladies are confused nowadays. They just say.
But yeah, you know, Rachel was blown away by that. She's like, he drove over an hour just to come cook. And I was like, that's something you got to understand about Cole, man. I was like, one, that dude loves to cook. And I was like, number two, that dude loves to serve.
Yeah. I was like, oh, dude, well, not even that, but like, dude, you dropped me. That's what me and Ryan were talking about, dude. Look, this is straight up like related, slightly unrelated, but like, me and Ryan, I was like, dude, this is great. We're getting away from Columbus, our friends in Columbus. Nothing bad against them, but we're out of the drama. And we're meeting people. I mean, especially for him, I was like, dude, you're way out of your element because you're not going to know anybody here.
Yeah.
I said, I'm used to the podcast world, so you're going to meet a few weird folks. You know what I'm saying? You're going to meet some weird people. And I was like, but that's what's cool about it. Like, you embrace the weird. You embrace the unique. And that's what's cool because, you know, if you look at it from, like, a perspective, if certain people, and it's just like, it's like a cultural kind of diversity kind of thing, right? Like the popular, you know, I think about high school, like the popular kids versus like the nerdy kids, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like it's very diversified, socially, culturally, but I'm telling you, I've always been that way. Even in high school, I was very socially diverse. I was invested with friends in every different type of cultural breakdown, whether you were hard rock. Dude, I had...
Yeah, it was whether band geek, you know, jock,
dude,
popular.
But that's my thing. Nerd. And that's what makes me just an incredible human being in my own right that I say is because, dude, I was in the band. I played sports. I played soccer. So I did what you would say, the more... feminine sports. I did that, and I played football. I played baseball before I came to Mississippi. I did all that, and I wore Vans one day. I wore flip flops the next. I wore Wallabies this day, and I wore, you know, tennis shoe, K-Swiss. Who knows? But that is what was so cool and unique. And I was telling Ryan all the way down here. I was like, dude, look, this is what the best part about this is the fact that we get to get away from everybody over here. And just unwind. Dude, you can be whoever you want to be. You can walk out here and tell them your name is Rodney, for all I care.
That's right.
Right? I was like, but that's the...
And ain't nobody going to know any different.
Nope. And, dude, and he enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. And like I said, just getting... And that's another part of it. That is another huge part of it. Having that opportunity to escape your boundaries, mm-hmm. essentially. Because that is what happens. And I think you and I know this... far better than most, but being when you grow up in a similar place and you go to school there and you get a job there and you have friends there, you've established boundaries for yourself. You don't know it yet, but you have. And at some point in your life, you're going to do one or two things. You're going to either settle within those boundaries, or you're going to start.
You're going to push.
You're going to start combating those boundaries. You're going to start trying to figure a way out. Whether that is you join the military and you travel off, or you go to college in a different state, you meet someone who's not originally from there and you travel for them, or you have those unique folk that just say, I don't need an excuse, I just want to do it,
mm-hmm.
right? And they go out and they do it. So any opportunity that I have personally to kind of, because I've already been outside the gates, right?
Yeah.
I pop back in now because, you know, I'm here. But any opportunity I have to travel outside that little, you know, everybody's just so tied into Columbus, Starkville area, West Point, you know, all this. Yeah, get out of that. I see you guys. I can see out of 30 days, I can see y'all 29 out of 30 days. But this one day that I have, I'm going to go do something different.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I'm at.
I feel that, man. You know, just for that weekend was I took Thursday, Friday off work. The Stiftones came down Thursday. They ended up staying until Monday morning. They were supposed to leave Saturday night. And, you know, when we were talking before they got there, it's like, so what are we going to do? It's like, well, you come to Kennedy, Alabama. I'm going to show you what life is like in Kennedy. And I was like, and if you want to, we'll go to Columbus. My buddy, he owns a beer garden, and we'll go hang out there. And, hell, we might even play while we're out there. I'm sure they wouldn't mind if they don't have a show already going on.
Yeah.
They got in Thursday. We were hanging out. Spent most of that evening out in the yard or sitting on the back porch and just trading guitars back and forth. It's like, did y'all want to go out tonight? I thought we were doing what we were supposed to be. Okay, yeah, you get it. Friday, we're making plans. Friday morning, I cooked breakfast. And it's like, what do y'all want to do tonight? You want to go out, or do you want to just hang here? If it was up to me, I'd be right here in Kennedy. Okay. You know, Saturday we're getting ready all day for the show. And then Sunday, just kick it at Kennedy. And, dude, for the past 2 or 3 weeks, you know, I work in Starkville. I play in Columbus, and then I live in Kennedy. And I haven't been to Columbus lately, and I've really enjoyed it.
No, I mean, it's, you know...
It gets old, man.
It gets old, but, you know, like I said, an escape or just stepping outside that comfort zone or getting outside those boundaries It can always be more than just not being in a certain place. It can be done by meeting new people. It can be done by doing something that you didn't think you were going to do. Like, for instance, the norm around here in Starkville is the district. But you want to meet some unique folks, and not to take away from those people, because I met a lot of cool, unique, and it's an awesome experience. But go to Dave's. All right, you go to Dave's.
That's my favorite bar in Starkville.
Yeah, no. Also, go to Rick's, right? Because that's where Rick's is almost like the Princess was in Columbus. That's where multiple cultures collide.
That's right.
Right? So, it's more than just...
And Dave's is kind of like what the Elbow Room used to be. It's kind of niche, but I like that crowd a lot. And like the district is... I'm too old for the district, to be honest.
Yeah. Oh, I like to go every now and then. I mean, of course, I'm a single guy, so, I'm gonna get out there, I'm gonna do my thing, you know what I'm saying? Spit a little flame, a little game. But I mean, dude, like, honestly, and this is... We have talked about this, but you know what, dude? What people, if you don't know, dude, the Cotton District in Starkville has the best food scene in Starkville, hands down. And you won't know it because it's so covered up by bars and college kids. But I'm telling you, Commodore Bob's on Sundays for brunch. So I'm telling you, it is like literally the best.
You got two brothers, you got Bulldog Burger.
Oh, two brothers, dude. Let me tell you something. So they just opened up a new taco place.
It's called Hello Taco.
We're on the same page. It's something taco something. Humble Taco.
Humble Taco.
That's it.
And
Humble
then,
Taco.
Stagger Inn is now Uno Mas.
Uno Mas, which that's
I heard they're getting a Top Golf simulator.
I heard that we're getting a Top Golf simulator. I was like, okay. But but here's the thing though. For instance, like Two Brothers. Pork Belly Tacos at Two Brothers. You can go to that taco place, and they're probably not even... No. You can't compete with Two Brothers. Number two, hamburger. You got Bulldog Burger right there.
That's right.
But did you know that the Ben Burger is better than any burger on that menu over there that you'll eat?
I've never ate at the Ben.
So, Ben... it's just... There's a lot of places that have great food, and, I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong now. Hold on.
This is the time of year I think, like... I'm in the district because you can be. The students have gone home.
Yes.
But like, during the college semesters, it is especially after 5 o'clock, it's hard to get in there.
You know, it is, and that's where it becomes kinda hard headed for us, or not hard headed, but it becomes kinda just like, do I really wanna for us, because the days of like bumping and grinding on people you didn't even know, just getting the bar is just like over. You're just ready to chill. But, it's like what you said just now. Those opportunities are there. You just got to time it right, I guess. But yeah. I'm telling you, whoever you are listening to this podcast, if you cross into Starkville and you're like, oh my God, all they have is freaking Mexican restaurants.
We do have a lot of those.
We got like 15 of them.
We got a Chipotle coming.
Yep. Harvey's, the grill, this. Nope. Actually, we have a hidden food scene. It's just, you're not going to want to go there because if it's past 6 o'clock, it's going to be surrounded by college students. Mm-hmm. But that's just part. I mean, I imagine it's probably Oxford, Knoxville, Athens. I'm pretty sure it's the same way.
I'd say it's probably worse. Like, yeah. I've been, Tuscaloosa does it better. Oxford does it better.
Yeah,
I've never thrown down in Knoxville.
But, it's gonna be kind of similar. But the thing is
Auburn.
Like,
Auburn has a good scene.
It's bigger, obviously. We're kind of condensed in like one small area.
Yeah, I mean this is not a big town. To be a major SEC town. I mean, we're talking like population swings from 20-25 up maybe to upward of 30-35.
I would say that the area that the district is in is no larger than 10 acres ish.
That'd be about right.
Versus...
And by the way, just with that, is like another thing that Porch Talk is doing is like, there's a Music Expression Fest coming up.
Oh, okay.
We're sponsoring that.
Yeah. Do you know, what's funny? It's going to blow your mind. So Matt, the Groove Johnson,
mm-hmm.
Matt, he used to work here at 21.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and it's funny because you posted something, you tagged me in, and I saw he liked it. I was like, man, I'm betting that guy's going, oh my God, like, Cole knew this, like, the whole time. And I was just like, yeah, what's up, dude? Yeah, like, I'm semi-famous. You know me and Al. Like, we've been at Cisco. What's up? You know, like.
Day one, bro.
Yeah.
You know, like, some of the best episodes out there, son. What's up? You know, like, most downloaded in a year. What's up?
So yeah, no, he's a good dude. I've never heard them play, but dude, that's great. Like, I need it. I need it for sure. I need fun. I went and worked that concert. Oh my God. I'm telling you, I don't care what people say. The most fun you can be at a concert, you can have at a concert, is to be completely sober.
No argument there. Now, look, like, you know, back in the day, it's like, we're going to take some psychedelics and we're going to drink.
Yeah.
Or you might take, like, some ecstasy or some Molly or something. But you're absolutely right. You know what? That's true. You actually fucking remember it.
Yeah. And, dude.
And you actually experience it. Yeah. You're not just out there, oh.
Well, I'll tell you something else, too, man. It's something that's, I don't care if the NSA or anybody's listening. Right now,
what's something that's not better sober? I mean, like, it's kind of sad.
I'm telling you though, like, if you're sober at this concert that I'm about to name, you're about to be a freaking fly on the wall. But I want to go to one so good. But Sturgill Simpson and Tyler Childers in concert together, dude. Literally, that is probably, I don't care if you like to do shrooms or you don't. What I'm saying is like those two guys, they are the old. They are country.
Real country.
They are real country. And no offense to like some of the other guys that are out there making that pop country stuff. Don't get me wrong. It gets me to move every now and then. But for the most part, those two guys right there are single-handedly holding it down. And for them two to just be touring together is astonishing. And yes, there's probably going to be a lot of DMT and marijuana and shrooms and other psychedelic stuff, but I'm telling you, it's also on the other side of that, it's gonna be a great show, great concert, great opportunity.
They're coming here?
No. Gosh, you're done. Woo! I'm glad they ain't, because I would have to work that and I would be like, oh my God.
maybe you could be like backstage security.
I was at the last one. I was. I said, dude, literally, John Langston basically teabagged me. Yep. Essentially. All these, like, college girls are, like, right there on the front row, and they're like, oh my God, hand me my phone. And, like, so I'm, like, taking selfies with John Langston with these other girls' phones. I'm like, hey, Mr. Langston, here you go. He's like, thanks, number one security guy. Like, you're the man. So, but actually, no. So I'm not trying to toot my horn here. I'm just being blunt, and I'll tell you what happened to me. So at one point during the concert, they were telling me, they were like, dude, who are you? I was like, what do you mean?
Now, who is this? Ask the band?
This is people with the band. They're like, who are you? I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, dude, you're getting more attention than the freaking band is up there in the front. and I'm like, what do you mean? Well, and it's because I'm a younger looking guy in comparison to most people my age. I'm fit. I'm in shape. I'm wearing this super tight t-shirt. My muscles are bulging out of. And I also have tattoos. And I'm not too hard on the eyes. So all these girls up there in the front, they're like, they're just all gushing. She's like, dude, like, go to the other side. Go to the other. I'm like, all right.
You're still in my heat, man.
Look, it'll be over here. It's gonna happen over here, you know. And it was a great experience, man. It was fun, and I was completely sober the whole time. I got offered so many drinks. I was dodging missiles like crazy because people were just like hurling, like every now and then. You know, like you'd see a rogue bottle incoming. You gotta watch out. So,
jeez,
I got and I actually saved everything by being just on the spot with a response one time, and that was because the guy who was with John Langston,
I mean, pretty rough crowd if they were throwing bottles on stage.
No, it wasn't bad. It was just drunks every now and then, and it wasn't happening often. It was like once every 30, 45 minutes you'd see, here comes a bottle or something flying across, and they're just doing it because they're drunk, just college kids. They don't have an excuse or a reason. But,
you know, the worst I've ever been treated, like, on stage was, like, people, like, talking over you. And so, like, I turn around and start playing for the wall. That'll get their attention.
So, one thing is, like, one of the guys came up to me and he was like, he said, I got a question for y'all. And I was like, what's up? It was just me at the time. He said, so what is y'all's plan if this gate falls? Like, how are y'all going? Like, what's the plan in place to stop? I was like, and here's the thing, dude. I had like that textbook answer, and it just came from the hip. I said, sir, our main priority is to protect the asset and their property. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get on that stage, and every person that comes on that stage, I'm going to shove off. I said, if they're injured during that time, that's okay. I said, but my primary job is to protect John Langston, his band members, and their equipment. So that means lighting, audio, cables, microphones, instruments, everything. I said, that's my job. He said, wow, I didn't expect that. Siri, CIA is trying to listen to us.
Bam, I mean, they always are.
Serial, get out of here.
How can I help you?
So you said that you want to do psychedelic drugs. Is that what I heard?
No, Siri, get out of here. let's hit the big boy.
So while we're here, it's just one question that's going to lead into more, but in the midst of everything going on in the country, now granted it's not this bad here in the South, but why in the hell you still want to be a cop?
All right. So.
You need one?
No, I'm good. Thank you. So here is the big thing. And like I said, we're always going to come spiraling back to this in some way, shape, or form. Here's the problem. The quick answer to that question is one, because I can. That's the quick response, because I can. But honestly, I'll be reasonable and I will say this, and I tell this to guys younger than me nowadays, and I tell this to other cops, if you don't have a plan B right now, you're crazy. And the thing is not to take away from the job that we do, but it's because that you're like, you're not supported, you're not loved, you're not appreciated. So it doesn't even matter if you stop that mass murder. It doesn't matter if you take 18 kilos of something off the street. It doesn't matter that you just resuscitated that child who lost consciousness and fell out from some whatever reason. It doesn't matter if you gave Narcan to somebody that was having an overdose and you essentially saved their life. At the end of the day, people don't support you, and the ones that do don't speak loud enough. And the thing is I tell people, if you don't have a backup plan, here's the reason. It's not because you're putting down your shield because you're weak, okay? It's because the battle is changing. You're fighting a battle on two fronts. You're having to protect your own honor whilst protecting your family and everything that you believe in. At the same time, you're fighting the bad guys. But then right behind you, right behind that thin blue line that protects everyone from the bad stuff.
Which is apparently racist now, by the way.
Yeah, everybody behind you is stabbing you in the back. So what do you do to protect yourself? I'm not telling you to quit. I'm just telling you, when push comes to shove, you better have a plan B.
You know what, like, just to take it to like a comic book realm, what it reminds me of? You can take it from a Marvel take or a DC. I'm going to go DC. It's like, even think about like the Batman.
Yeah.
Like mixed reviews from the public, right? Vigilante type. Is he well received? No.
Nope.
But if he's not out there doing his job, it ain't no good for the public. But once again, it's like you turn your back on the bat. You don't want the bat. Let the bat go away and see what fucking happens.
And that's my big thing.
It's one of them fuck around and find outs, you know?
That's why I say because I can. And here's the thing. They don't make them like me anymore. They don't make them like anybody better than me anymore. They don't make the...
And I've told you that, man. It's like when I graduated high school, I had zero desire to join the military, any branch. I had zero desire to be in law enforcement. Like, I believe those things to be callings.
Well, I'm going to quote myself. I'm going to cheat and I'm going to quote myself. You recently had talked to a little girl that was like an astounding, brilliant little young lady around the age of 8 or so,
mm-hmm.
that kind of had her own opinion formed about what's going on in the world.
That's right.
And so this was my response to that in conjunction with this conversation. And it is this, and I said, which falls back to a lack of imagination. At 8 years old, I was still playing with toys. Superheroes were my icons. The year that we were 8 and 9 was the year that terrorists attacked our country. The most impenetrable country in the world was attacked, and it shook the entire atmosphere of the entire globe. Those kids that witnessed that were older than us at the time, they were hardened by the tragedy that they observed as kids. Hardened even more by watching relatives go and fight a war and either returning or not returning, scarred regardless. At 8 years old, she sees Americans radicalizing against the ideals and injustices formed by just opinions. She sees groups of entitled young Americans going to war on the streets of Philadelphia, New York, and other places against the police. She has no hope because that is what's broadcast into the media, is no hope.
That's right.
You don't see too many toy commercials these days. Remember watching Saturday morning cartoons and seeing the badass new Super Soaker, thinking like, man, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, kids jump on Facebook and see cops killed and sees everything that was once right in the world is now wrong.
Everything's perverted. Even justice.
Yeah. The events that are taking place in this world aren't creating warriors. They are creating social division and hate. Standing in the crossfire of our nation's youth. They are taking it all in. They see their icons like LeBron James and other professional athletes sharing their opinions and telling the viewing public that what you've been told right is wrong, and it's been that way the whole time. Here's what I believe. Regardless, right is right, wrong is wrong. It doesn't matter. People believe in Jesus if they don't. If you want to be gay or you want to kill the gays, you want to hate the straights, whatever, it doesn't matter. You want to be whatever you want to be, that's fine. At the end of the day, somebody out there right now is training right now to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
They are training right now because, and the jihadists, you do your research, Muslims, all right? I know this is a military opinion, but I'm telling you folks out there listening, we're all into what you believe. One of these days, you're going to pick up the phone and call 911 for what? Because this is what I tell my guys, because I'm a training officer now, and I tell them this. When someone picks up the phone and calls 911, they're having the worst moment in their life. Whether that's a car accident, whether that's some kind of disturbance or whatever. You're going to find yourself in that position. Just like you said, what are we going to do without the bat? What are you going to do without that?
So what are you going to do without the blue?
So here's what I'm saying. To all those wives, mothers, daughters, sir, are we just going to let folks get away with rape? Are we just going to let folks get away with sexual assault?
St. Louis says, yeah.
But here's the thing. No matter how hard you repent against good, no matter how much you think what police do is right or wrong, no matter how much you think of what, it doesn't matter. You can be right. You can be wrong. You can be left. You can be right. You can be Democrat, Republic. When it comes to evil, we're all affected the same way. Evil thwarts evil, right? People in the drug game turn on each other all day long.
That's right.
They kill one another over grams of a substance that's 90% man-made in the most part. And the thing is, you know, there are situations that are handled wrong or badly, okay? In my opinion, like the Chauvin incident with the thing that set this all off, what was the victim's name?
George Floyd.
George Floyd. I'll tell you right now from my perspective, I was Marine Corps 0311, which I was infantry, okay? I got taught detainee handling operations, which means like when we take in prisoners of war, they're essentially, you know, we apprehend subjects rather than, you know, eliminate the target or whatever the case may be. Even then, at that point in time, I was told, don't put your knee in somebody's neck, okay? Skip forward to now, I'm a cop, okay?
But that was actual training for that precinct, man.
Well, here's the thing, you know? It's just like everybody else, all right? I'm not trying to compare a law enforcement agency to a sport, but what I am comparing is I'm comparing education and teaching, right? We teach our kids... If I had a son, I teach my son, hey, don't let, if that bully comes up to you and pushes you, you give him the what for right there in the nose. All right, buddy. Right.
He won't bully you no more.
But some other parent is going, if a kid comes up to you,
be nice.
Just let him beat the hell out of you. And I don't say that, but here's my thing. What they saw just in that example right there is that's a lack of training. That is a lack of awareness. You know what I'm saying? Like that agency needs to be aware of that. That's on them. I agree with everybody in the United States. That was fucked up, and he's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
If you got to understand
the whole thing about that. Nobody fucking wins.
Like, nobody wins.
The assistant officers, the people that were filming. The people that were shouting, Chauvin himself, George lost his life. Nobody fucking won that day.
People ask me, and it's more than just you. I've been tested so much this past couple months, especially with everything that's going on. They ask me why. Let me tell you why, and it's just like I just said earlier. That guy that's out there addicted to methamphetamine right now and is trying to break in your car and steal your radio just so he can get his next high, he doesn't care what you believe about the police. God forbid, if he knew that you didn't like the police, hell, he just might as well walk up to your door, put a gun to your head and say, hey, may I take everything in your house? Right? So my thing is like, it don't matter what you do. I mean this. I learned a long time ago, somewhere in the world, somebody is training to kill you. And then when it comes to America, dude, they're all trying to get us.
It's the world, yeah.
They're all trying to get us. But at the same time, what you have to do as an individual, you have to take care, you have to have self-perseverance. You have to take care of self, take care of the people around you. It doesn't matter what they believe, man. It doesn't matter if they agree with you or not. Me, no one hates me because I'm a cop. No one does. But nowadays, no one loves me because I'm a cop either. And that's the problem. Opinions. Screw your opinions, dude. Your opinions are not going to stop somebody from kicking down your door and robbing you, raping your 13-year-old daughter, stealing from you, putting a gun to your head, killing you. I'm telling you, there's an entire other agenda on the table here that we have no control over. It's free will. People have free will. We are victims of free will. What stands between us and free will? It's men that are told to utilize their free will and their judgment to protect others from their free will, their decisions, their opinions.
That's why I'm pro 2A.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing.
It's like a gun is a defensive weapon. I only point it at something I intend to destroy. You know, I'm not going to... Like, did you see, I can't think of his name right now. He was a big YouTuber out in Washington. Somebody that didn't like his channel showed up at his house harassing him. Now, said YouTuber walks outside with pistol and said, I'll show you, pussy. He shot the gun in the air. and then calls the law himself because the guy is still harassing him. The guy is going to be charged for aggravated assault, and he's going to go to jail or prison for 15 years.
For protecting his life.
You should have not. He should have called the police before he stepped outside, because the only reason he would have needed to have a gun is if he felt threatened. And by walking outside with that gun, same with that, what was the older white couple? Remember?
Yeah.
If they would have stayed inside, it wouldn't have been a problem.
Nope.
You don't walk out, because at that point, the only time I'm going to pull a gun is if I feel threatened.
Yep.
And I'm not going to walk outside because, dude, it's my defense. I've lost everything. Like, come in my house. You know, it's, once again, it's a fuck around and find out.
I wanna hit on something, and this is gonna be a educational history for historical education for a lot of people, but it's facts. I don't care what you believe. I don't care if you think I'm right. I don't care if you think I'm wrong. But I'm gonna tell you what is written. I'm gonna tell you what's in history. So in the 1940s, December 7, 1941, you know, we were bombed by the Japanese. Okay, you got to understand, like, prior to that, you know, we were fighting Germany and the Nazis and the oppression of dictatorship and tyranny during that time. Hitler wanted to kill Jews. Jews were white. It was a religious thing. It was a cultural thing. It was a problem. Whatever you believe it is, that was hate. Described in its own way. But how do we define hate? Well, here's the thing. If you've never read Mein Kampf, which is
my Hitler's struggle.
Here's the thing. Hitler did not hate. He just passionately believed what he believed in. So to people that believed in what he believed in, he didn't actually hate. He didn't hate the Jews. He didn't hate people. He had a strong belief in the things that he believed in.
He wanted blonde hair, blue eyes everywhere.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The people that don't understand that, we transition and we turn that into hate. Let me tell you something about decisions that were unable to be made. And that is, during the 40s, in the 70s, I don't care if you don't believe in the Vietnam War. I don't care. What you have to understand is, like, during Vietnam, whatever, I don't know, somebody's going to listen to this and be like, Cole, get your facts straight. Let me get your facts straight. Communism is real. Communism was the reflection of what we fought against in World War I and World War II. The Nazi superpowers trying to take over to Germany, trying to be a dictatorship. This one man was trying to rule the world. Communism is a reflection of that. It's just more parties included. Communism is a real thing, okay? But I agree with you people. It is a belief. It's a common understanding. It's a groupthink from a group of people that don't agree with that. But let me tell you something. And regardless of opinion or belief or what, young men aging from 17 to 25 and older, and a little, some were even snuck in younger, they put their lives on the line because they believed in family, they believed in this country, they believed in the people around them. They didn't want to see that type of lifestyle for their families and people growing up for them. And then here's the thing: from the 80s up until September 11, 2001, we had nothing. I talked to people. Yeah, don't get me wrong. The Secret Squirrely guys, they got into some stuff back in Desert Storm, Desert Shield, all that kind of stuff. We had things that were going on. There was events that took place, but during that time, dude, America was America, you know? We had our struggles. We dealt with them.
I don't know if it was just because I was a kid, man, but that was just the damn glory days.
Yeah.
And then, like, even, like, I remember the year 2000, you know, it was December 31st, 1999, and me and my brother went to bed. It was like, oh, we're going to wake up next day and aliens are going to be here.
Yeah.
Walk outside, not shit. And then, you know, terrorist attack, 9/11. And then we're at war. And then for the most part, here at home, life was pretty much the same, you know? Like, that was the first time, you know, we had ever been attacked on American soil, but the battle still wasn't here, so life pretty much still looked the same. We took the fight to them.
Yeah.
But, and even life as a teenager, man, how good do we have it, man? How many spring breaks? I mean, how many parties? I mean, like, was you worried about anything? Man, I worry about shit every day now.
Yeah. But that's the thing.
And man, I don't know. I don't think, I don't believe it's because I'm getting older. It's because, like, it's like staring communism right in the fucking face. And it's like, please get the fuck out of here.
Well, that's my thing, bro. That's my biggest hit. It don't matter what you believe. You could be an African American transsexual alien for all I care that believes in Buddhism. Your opinions, my opinions, the other side doesn't care about our opinions. The rest of the world is watching America going, look at what they're doing.
It's a burning shithole.
The greatest country in the entire globe is tearing itself to pieces.
Hell yeah.
And you know what? We've been the baddest mofos on the planet for so long. People's been wanting to come and take our title for so long. Now we're giving it to them. And you know what? You know where we start? Individual ideas. Every person out here, don't work for the man. Stop saying, oh, I work for the man. Don't work for the man. Fuck the man. Work for your family. Work for you. Yes, it's a struggle. You got to struggle. You got to go through hard times. Nothing's given. We don't have genies or magic. That's the world we live in. Go out there, go to work, bust ass, get cussed out, deal with the man, but do it for a reason.
Yeah.
When the news comes on, white cop shoots black person. Don't listen to them. Don't listen to what they have to say because it's all opinion-based. And here's what I'm saying. I'm not saying don't follow, don't believe that there's hate. There is hate. But what I'm saying is all you're doing when you watch that and you develop opinions,
you're fueling a fire.
You develop hate on both ends. You either agree with why they did it or you disagree with the fact that they just killed someone. Okay? So both sides, don't matter if you think this way or that way, both sides, you're going to create hate between one another. Fuck all that. That is where we lack as a country. It's because right now in this day and age, men are no longer men.
No, they're not.
We have subtracted masculinity down to a crime. And it's nothing against my ladies because I love women. I love my mama. I love my grandmother. I mean, we got some hard-ass women in American history. We do. I mean, there's women. Women have so many more rights. But here's the thing. For those ladies out there that are struggling, that are putting in the hard work, that are out there making something, that are
you know, single moms, you know.
You know what I'm saying? Single mom that are out there doing it. Ladies, let me tell you this. Some little twat out there is ruining your good work. They are, because they're like, they're shouting equality. They're shouting this, they're shouting that.
They're shouting equity.
Yeah. But here's the thing.
That shit don't make no sense.
They're not out there busting their ass. They're not out there working.
They're just bitching.
They're just bitching.
And they don't have an answer.
So what I'm saying is opinions don't matter. But because of that whole thing, what I was getting into when I mentioned ladies, is that we've had this thing called toxic masculinity. Well, welcome to 2021, folks, because we have no more masculinity left. There is no masculinity. You just killed men. You know what you just did? For thousands of generations, I don't care what book you read. I don't give a crap. You can crack the Bible, the Quran, an encyclopedia, history book. I don't care. For thousands on thousands of years, millennia, men, you can see it, M-E-N, men have got up. The Spartans, the ninja, the samurai, the Apache warriors. Every battle that's ever been fought has been fought with men.
That's right.
Men. And
why?
I'm not
because we like keeping our women and babies safe.
I'm not saying that women can't, because nowadays that's what we do. We allow women in combat arms roles. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
What they're even talking about now is like letting now pregnant women can't even ride a roller coaster. But they're saying in Air Force is that a pregnant woman can fly fucking and get in a dogfight.
No.
Now how fucked is that?
But what I'm saying, though, is it's like...
And who in their right mind would, like, if I was a female and I was pregnant, I wouldn't want to be, like, active military at the point, you know? I'd want to be on some kind of maternity leave, you know?
Well, my thing is because of that, because we focus so much on the what's right or what's wrong, you know what we killed? Masculinity. You know what we killed? Now, I read an article the other day, and it was like a 11-year-old boy. It may have been 11. He... he told his parents he was homosexual. I don't have anything wrong with
that. You know what I told my parents when I was 11?
What?
I was a fucking dinosaur.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm not taking away from that. I'm not saying you. But, dude, at 11 years old, as a child, go play outside. Go play with friends. You may like boys. You may like girls. You don't know. But we cascade and we throw so much emphasis on the things that are opinion-based, like, it's wrong to hate on the people that don't agree with we do. So let's try to embrace and love them and be a part of their culture, be a part of their existence. No, I'm used to a society where you live and you learn on your own. You develop your own reasoning, your own thought. Regardless of what you believe in, you develop your own opinions of what's going on in the world. At 11 years old, you should not be concerned with
your sexuality.
I mean,
you haven't even hit puberty.
Yeah, but my thing is okay, let's say that you are.
I mean, what the hell was you watching? Like, was it?
You know, let's say that you are. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that, but parents, stop empowering that. Encourage their imagination. Encourage them not to be fearful and to be strong in moments where, I mean, I can imagine. I mean, I'm straight, but as a homosexual child, gosh forbid, school bullies, I can only imagine how scary it can be to want to admit that in public. Encourage your kids to take power in themselves and to be empowered by their decisions and choices. But at the same time, also encourage imagination. Also encourage children to get out there and experience the world. Because regardless if you believe it or not, the world is dying every day. Every day we're dying. Encourage your children imagination, regardless of what they think. Encourage imagination. Encourage that child to do better, to do more, to go out there and strive to be whoever they want to be, regardless of opinions or what they like, or what color their skin are, or what they want. Encourage them to always have imagination.
Now, I'm going to tell you this, just through the pandemic, and this goes from teenagers down to like my nephew's age, who is 8 years old, is the adults are failing them big time. Because look, you remember we said 15 days to slow the spread, and now we're celebrating 15 months to slow the spread. And, like, the kids have done a great job, I think. You know, they've done what they've been asked. And then, like, you know, we keep pushing the field goal back. Oh, just, you know, a little bit longer. It was like, look, we have done everything that you have asked, and you still won't allow us to get back to normal. You know, they're disappointed. I bet they feel like the adults are just failing them. And on top of that, man, I couldn't imagine being, like, a senior in high school. Like, think of last year, 2019, or 2020, your senior year. Let's say you had Ole Miss or Mississippi State looking at you. You're a baseball or football player. You don't even have a season. That's your life. Taken.
Yeah. Well.
Or at least a dream, right?
Yeah. I want to close you out with this here. And it's this. You ask me why, and people listening are wondering why. You know, he sounds like such a genuine guy. He's so great. Why subject yourself to such hate and such? Why subject yourself to opinion? Why? Let me educate everyone on something, because I can, because I want to, and because I believe that. You know, I believe in people that, I believe in our heroes. I believe in heroes. I do. I believe in people that literally, regardless of hate, regardless of religion, political beliefs, they still get up and they challenge the wolf at the door. And the thing is regardless of what you believe, we have those kind of people out here. We have that out here. And thank God for them, because they're here. Because I'm telling you, there are things that we all can't do, and thank God that there's people that do it because they can and they want to.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is you know, I'm gonna drop the ball on this, you know, and I'm gonna make it global, I'm gonna make it go wide, I'm gonna do everything that I can, and I'm gonna explain, and hopefully me revealing this to the world will blow everybody's minds and just push the envelope. I was 17 years old, and I was probably one of the, you know, the coolest kids in my class, not because I was popular, not because I was great looking, not because of anything like that. It was because I threw a bunch of parties, everything like that. So the last thing that people expected me to do was to do something. You know, everybody expected the college life out of me, but I didn't. At 17 years old, I joined the Marine Corps. I went on two different deployments. I deployed. I trained. You know, I trained other Marines. I did that for 4 years of my life. I got so bored of this life and everything that was going on around me that I turned around and then I obligated myself to 2 years of service, actively engaged in a reserve unit after I got out of the Marine Corps. I did that. Years after that, I felt still that there was more that needed to be done, so I became in law enforcement. I have done almost everything that you can do in law enforcement. I've been a narcotics agent. I have been a canine handler. I've been on SWAT teams. I've been on patrol. I have seen murders. I have seen domestic violences. I have seen a large amounts of narcotics trafficking. I have seen it all. I've worked and I've done that. And at the end of the day, in my heart, in my mind, I still was not satisfied. For the past six years, I've been trying and fighting and doing everything I can every day to try to get back in to the military. Why? Because I'm the type of person that I felt like I went to the top of the ladder and there was nowhere for me to go in law enforcement. I did that. I did all the cool stuff you want to do. I was the coolest guy on the planet. I was a narcotics agent. I was on a SWAT team. I had a canine. Like, I made it as far as you can go up that ladder without being a police chief or a sheriff, right? I made it as far as you can go, and even when I got up there, I still was not satisfied. I wasn't satisfied. I needed more. Not because I'm an adrenaline junkie, but because, like, there's work that needs to be done. Somebody's got to do it, and it's because I can, because I want to. Not because of what I believe, not because my parents don't want me to go, not because I'm running away from something. It's because I can and because I want to. I want to do it so you don't have to. That is why I still work in law enforcement to this day, is because I'm not there for me. I get paid and whatever. I'm there because when shit hits the fan, those guys that I work with, they don't have a choice. I'm coming. I'm going to be there.
Yeah.
And the thing is, just to give everybody perspective, and like I said, I'm going to drop the ball, mic drop, just, you know, here's my thing. You want to know how selfless, self-service, you want to know how much I care? Well, like I said, 5-6 years I've been busting my ass trying to get back in the military, and I contracted hypothyroidism, was diagnosed with hypothyroidism, you know.
Hyper or hypo?
Hypo, back in 2014, and I've been ineligible ever since.
Just
ever
for a list, I mean, what is that?
It's just a thyroid issue, you know. I can't really elaborate more on it because I don't really truly understand it, but it's just a thyroid issue.
Okay.
But with that being said, for the past 5-6 years, I've been trying to get denied, got denied.
Yeah, it's the whole annual joke, right?
Yeah.
But, it's like me applying to Harvard.
But what have I been doing? I've been staying, I've been being a cop, I've been out here, I've responded to murders, I've responded to shootings, I've done this, I've been there, I've been doing that. Why do I keep doing it? Well, I'm just happy to say that, you know, good Lord willing, you know, finally heard my call, heard my plea, heard my prayers. And 2 weeks ago, last week, I got a phone call from Naval Special Warfare Community, who is offering me an opportunity to put myself back in a position of service with the United States military. I am 29 years old. There's a lot more that I have to do. There's a lot of things I got to go through. There's a lot of paperwork and everything else. But I'm starting back over from scratch. I'm going back as an E-1
in the Navy. Well, you're starting over.
And I'm starting all the way over as an E-1 in the Navy. I'm going back through boot camp, going back through everything. It's not because they hate me. It's because, it's what happens when you wait 10, 8 years. But it wasn't my fault, right? So there you go. There's your answer. Well, you know, people are going to ask, why? Well, here's the reason. We are blessed to have hard men to stand at the door and keep the wolves outside the door. And God willing, I'm sick and tired of watching somebody else fight my battle. And I'm done. I'm done. And the thing is you know, as bad as it looks here in the United States,
it's a dumpster fire.
You guys have no idea what it's like on the other side. Our problems are minuscule compared to theirs, like in Israel.
You know, a lot of people say with, and not to hijack you, but just for an instant, is like the summer of love, what we call the protest of this past summer in 2020, was I saw a bunch of kids that are old enough to be adults who really didn't even ever have anything to fight. You know, they didn't ever have anything to stand for.
Yeah.
So, what are we going to do? Well, let's just hop on this bandwagon and we'll go fuck shit up. It's like, dude, that ain't fighting for something. That's just being fucking destructive.
Yeah. Like I said, man, you know, like, I'm tired of somebody else fighting my battle. I'm tired of making excuses. I'm tired of listening to opinions. So I'm gonna go put myself in a position to satisfy myself.
You're gonna put your boots back on the ground.
You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna put myself in a position to satisfy myself. And why? Because I can, because I want to.
You know, one thing I thought about, like, if I could, like, I'm 30, I don't know. When is it? When are you too old to join the military? I would
34.
I would join the Navy if they would let me be, like, tech or intelligence.
Yeah. 34.
Because I would love to learn, like how to be better on computers or just how to be better on the circuit board. I would totally do that.
I mean, it's a possibility. I mean, I'm not trying to recruit you right now, but, I mean, you know.
I'm not saying I would. But, I mean, I've got a lot going on here, you know.
Yeah.
This is my fight right here. It's trying to wake people the fuck up.
So, there's a lot more that can be said, but another day, another episode.
Perfect. We're out of here. News and notes. Thank you so much for listening to Porch Talk. If you haven't done so already, I would ask you to rate and review the show, whatever podcast app it is that you listen to on. Now, I'd also ask that you would find me on YouTube. That you would subscribe. I'm trying to get to 100. That way we could live stream not only on Facebook, on the Porch Talk page, but we could go on YouTube and that could open up everything. Look us up on Discord. We're going to take these conversations that we have on the show to Discord. It is my plan for our community to be able to have a great discussion about these topics. I want to know what you think. Please look that up. We're going to walk this show out the door with Will Stewart, Predator. Peace out.
Time is wasting time. I can't hold him back. Came running back around. came running back around like a predator that knew I wanted to be found.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.